Mark chapter 16, and we are going to look, continue on with these women around the cross, the character of these women that were around the cross. We talked about this the last two times I preached to you, and now we're going to continue on, and we're going to talk about how Jesus first appeared to women. And I think that's an amazing thing. We look at Mark chapter 16, verse 7. Verse 6, we'll go back a little bit. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you. And when they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Father in heaven, Lord, bless us as we look at this, look at the character of these women, look at the things that are going on around this whole situation here, Lord, and help us to apply these things to our hearts and lives today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We see here the Lord continually uses these faithful women. First, we find them following Jesus all through his earthly ministry. Mary Magdalene, to whom much is given, much shall be required, right? Seven devils were cast out of her. She was a very faithful and loyal woman to Jesus Christ. And she followed him. And it says later, we find out that some of the other women that were there, Mary and Joanna and some of the others, they actually gave to Jesus and helped him. They had some money. They had different things. And when he would come into town, they would help buy food and they would help take care of the needs of the men that were with him. They were faithful, which is consistent with Titus and the other lessons that we learn about the widow and women that are to be faithful in what God has called them to do. So anyway, they came to anoint a dead body, though. I think that's interesting, right? That's part of Jewish custom anyway. They would anoint the body with oil. They would put on some things we talked about on Wednesday night that would they would put on some of those things on the wounds that would help do that. And guess what happens? They came to anoint a dead body. But they didn't find a dead body, they found a living Savior.
Amen.
They didn't find a body in the tomb. They didn't find a body that was defiled or that would suffer rigor mortis or anything like that. A body that would need to be preserved. No, they didn't find a body at all. They found a living Savior. Jesus was risen early the first day of the week. Note that the angel was sent for their good, but not their bad. But what happened? As soon as that angel came, they trembled. They feared. They were afraid. Oftentimes, though, when God sends us messages and God shows us things and teaches us things, the things that he sends us we're afraid of. Many times we're afraid of the things that he sends our way, right? The messages or the circumstances that we're in, but most of the time, all the time, the Bible says that God means those things for good. It says, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Sometimes we see things and we can't figure out how they could be any good. You know, just like these disciples, they could not figure out how it could be any good that Jesus would be crucified. They didn't understand the redemption. They didn't understand the redemption that was found in Christ yet. They didn't understand it quite yet. So notice the Lord sends them back with good news to tell them, right? He saith unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. Now there's a reason for that. He says, go tell them. All of their hopes were dead in that grave. Like all the hope that they had was in the grave. They saw everything that Christ had and everything who Christ was, and he was dead. And to them, all their hopes died with him. But it wasn't true, right? There's a reason for that, and we're going to talk about that next week when I preach back at church. I'm going to preach maybe one message, but maybe a series on reasons why, on why we become disappointed in God. Why we become disappointed with God. There are times that Christians become disappointed with God. Like they think God let them down. And there's reasons for that, and we'll talk about that next week. But go tell them. Go tell them. Go tell Peter. Make sure, you know, Jesus made sure to send a message to Peter. You go tell Peter, I'm coming to see him. Why is that important? Well, because remember the last time Peter saw him, the cock crowed three times and he denied the Lord. And Peter looked over at him, and Jesus looked over at Peter. And Peter ran weeping. Right? Peter was absolutely broken over his sin. He was weeping that he had failed God. He was broken. And Jesus remembered that. He remembers his disciples. He remembers his servants. Even when they fail him, he is so gracious and merciful that he remembers them. Right? And he says, you make sure you tell Peter I'm coming to see him specifically. That's a beautiful truth that we ought to remember. Here's these ladies that are given this truth, and they're the ones delivering the message, right? There's a reason for that. We're going to get to that. But these ladies are delivering this message. And they're bringing it, and they said, you know, by the way, go tell Peter. Tell Peter directly I'm coming to see you. What a perfect messenger these ladies are to deliver such warm tidings of joy and comfort to Peter's heart. You know, Peter's definitely distraught. He had failed the Lord. Peter was ready to go fishing, man. He was done. He's ready to pack it in. Time to get out of here, man. I'm done. Right? How often do we rob ourselves of comfort, though, when Christ speaks to us from his word and we believe him not? You know, here these women are sent to give a message of comfort to Peter. You know, a lot of times God sends messengers our way through his word to give comfort, and we ignore the comfort. We don't accept it. We don't receive the comfort, and then we stay miserable. We stay anxious and fearful because we don't accept the comfort that God has given us. Right? That's what these disciples did. You'll find out Jesus goes to talk to these disciples and sends Mary to go talk to these disciples and tell them everything that Jesus had already told them before. But they could receive no comfort. They had so much sorrow in their heart that they robbed themselves of that. You know, faith added to Christ's words brings comfort to the soul. That's the first thing. It isn't enough. I mean, the word of God is all sufficient. But if you don't believe God's word, you're not going to be comforted by God's word. If you don't accept it by faith, you will not be comforted. Our comfort comes from the word of God and our faith added to that, right? That we believe God, and therefore we are comforted by the word of God. But when we are not believing God, when we are not applying faith to the things that we have heard, then guess what happens? We're not comforted. So people wonder why they hear the Bible, and they wonder why they're not comforted. Well, I can tell you why you're not comforted. You're not applying faith to what you hear. You are required to apply faith to what you hear. And that's what happened to these disciples. They did not apply faith to what they had heard and what they had seen. Therefore, they received no comfort. And many of God's people do the same exact thing. Absolutely. So they have to be careful about that. Faith added to Christ's words brings us comfort. Fear may cause us to be unfaithful in our duties toward the Lord and hurt our witness to his fellow man. You know what? It says when they were on the road to Emmaus, what did they do? Or they were on the road back. It says they neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Those women were so afraid that they didn't even tell anybody else that Jesus rose from the dead. Because fear had taken their hearts. You know what? If we give in to fear, we will not be good servants of the Lord.
Right.
If we allow fear to control us, if we allow our emotions to control us, we will not be good servants to the Lord. Why? Because we're allowing fear to control us and we're giving into fear and we're not activating faith. And when you don't activate faith like that, then you get into a lot of trouble. And that's what they did. They didn't activate any faith. They were afraid. They still were afraid. Now, Jesus is ready to forgive Peter. That's why he says, go tell Peter. When Christ died, the heavens mourned with a dark sky. Isn't it interesting? But when he rose up early, the skies and the heavens put on the garments of praise.
Yeah.
And when you see Jesus, he's in pure white when he's at that sepulcher, right? Think about that. And then the sun rises, right? On the day when the sun rose, right before the daybreak though, but when the sun rose up in the air, it was dark. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it was dark. The whole world was dark, plunged into darkness when Jesus died. But when he rose from the dead, it was the sun rising with healing in his wings. That's the picture we have there, right? The angel of the resurrection was a joy to his friends. The women stood by weeping, but a terror to his enemies. Those soldiers, look at what happens here. It says here that very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulcher, the rising of the sun. They said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away this stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. They entered in the sepulcher. What happened? God sent an earthquake. Matthew chapter 28 tells us that God sent an earthquake. And that earthquake and that angel came and rolled the stone away. Right? And when the earthquake came, guess what happened to the soldiers? They were shaking in fear. But Mary and the ladies weren't shaking in fear. Shouldn't they have been? You have these strong, strapping soldiers that are warriors and they're afraid to death. And those women are looking in the sepulcher for Jesus. They're really like, "Where's Jesus at?" That shows you the difference when Christ comes. He will be a terror unto his enemies, and he will be a friend to his friends.
Amen.
When Christ comes, right? Christ's resurrection is a terror to his enemies, but a joy to his friends. That's what the Bible teaches us here. God's people need not fear to come to Christ. They need not fear to and wonder with any amazement. You know, the angels bid these women, "Come near to the tomb. Fear not, though you see these hard soldiers trembling. Fear not. Come to the tomb and see. Look inside. Look and see. Look and see where the Lord lay. Look and see that he is not here. He is risen." He tells these ladies, "Fear not. The news I give you, Jesus said he would rise again. Fear not. Fear not to approach the Lord. True believers seek the crucified, risen Savior, and they don't fear the reproach of the enemies. They don't fear to approach the Lord, to come closer to God, to draw near to God, to draw nigh to God. That's what God's people are to do. We are to know Christ, that we are not to know Christ after the flesh. See, they wanted his body. They wanted to anoint his body. They wanted to do all those things to his body. But that's not what God had called them to do. He had called them to faithfulness.
Amen.
He had not called them to know Christ after the flesh. We seek Christ by faith and by his word, not by the senses of our nature. You know when people get in trouble? When they try to seek Christ by the senses of their nature. They try to feel good. They try to see something. They need a sign. They need a wonder. They need a feeling. They need warmth. They need all these other things. No, we see Christ by faith. The eyes of faith. We are to look unto Jesus. We look unto him. God's people must be reminded often that the very thing in their sorrow, that they are to seek him by faith. In sorrow, they are to seek the Lord by faith. Just like these women were to look into the tomb. Right? He says, and he saith unto them, "Be not afraid. If you seek Jesus of Nazareth, he is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." Look, he's not there. These women were instructed in their circumstances to remember what Christ said to them. You know what? In times of fear, in times of pain and sorrow and suffering, you know what we're told to do? Remember the words that Christ said unto us. That's what we're to do. In any time of your life, when you're full of fear and doubts and troubles and trials and everything, the simple thing this angel reminds these women of, don't you remember what he said? "Be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they lay him." Right? Remember, he told you that he was going to rise from the dead. They would remember that. The women were instructed in their circumstances to remember what Christ had said to them. If we remember what Christ says to us, we will be less disturbed by what he does with us. Mm-hmm. I want to say that to you again. And remember this. If we remember what Christ said to us in his word, we will be less disturbed by what he does with us. Right? Because we trace when God is going to do something and we find ourselves in strange circumstances and we don't understand why we're having trouble, why we're having heartache, why we're having pain, why we're going through things, why these circumstances we're facing, why this fear is mounting in us and all these things are surrounding us. We don't need to be concerned with what God is doing with us in that sense. We need to remember what he said to us. This is how you find the Lord. This is how you find God's will. This is how you know it's from the Word of God. It's what Jesus said to us. That's how we understand Christ. That's how we get through any trials of life. We remember what he said. That's what we do. That's all the angel did was remind them. He didn't bring some new message to them. He said the same words that Jesus said. I'll get to that in a second. When we switch to another book here in the Bible. The angel reminds them that he preaches no other gospel than Jesus' own words. Right?
Yeah.
That he would rise from the dead. Matthew Henry reminds us in our own death preparation, we should look and see where the Lord lay. We should think about death. We should think about the open sepulcher. We should think about where Jesus laid and think about our own death. We ought to think sometimes and ponder our own death and think about that, that we will die one day. And looking into the tomb and thinking about how Jesus rose from the dead and how death is nothing but sleep for the body. It's only a rest for the body. It's a Sabbath for the body. For the Christian, for the born again a believer who is saved by the grace of God, who has repented and put their faith and trust in Christ and has been saved from their sins, their body only sleeps in the dust. Their soul goes to be with the Lord.
Man.
That's the promise of God.
Amen.
Jesus wanted these women to go tell the disciples, tell them, comfort ye my people. He didn't send them to the enemies, did he? But he sent them to his friends. Go tell my friends that I rose from the dead. Go tell my friends I'm coming to see him. Go tell my brethren. That's what he called them. He said, go tell my brethren I come into Jerusalem. Go tell Peter I'm coming. Think about that care that God has for his frightened soldiers and the care that the Lord has for his people. That here they are in sorrow and pain and suffering. And Jesus tells them, go tell them I'm coming. The woman was deceived. I think this is interesting because this portion of scripture fulfills all prophecy. Remember back in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15? Think about this. Ready for this comparison? Eve was fooled by the fallen angel. And she carried a false gospel to her husband, Adam. You ready for this? Mary was given the truth by a true angel of the Lord and by Jesus Christ. And she carried the true gospel, the seed of the woman, and went and told those men. She went and delivered the message to men, telling those men that Jesus rose from the dead. And that in him you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Now think about that for a second. So here's Eve who delivers a false gospel and plunges the world into sin. Here is Mary Magdalene who has seven devils cast out of her. Jesus appears to her and she delivers the true gospel to deliver millions of people out of the clutches of Satan. Do you understand the picture there of what the redemption of the woman that took place there? How God loved woman so much that he promised back in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15. He said, listen, he said, the seed of the woman's going to come. He's going to fix this. He's going to make this right. Amen. And he did. It's exactly what he did. Because he appeared first unto the woman on purpose. And this time with a true message. This time, Jesus appears to her and gives her a true message.
Man.
Right? The true gospel. So the gospel that Eve had given was a false one. Ye shall be as gods. This gospel that Mary delivers from Jesus is that the Son of God rose from the dead, and in him you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. What a picture. Right? Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Because it gets gooder. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 7. Actually, we'll read the first 7-8 verses or so. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. There's the other Mary. Right? And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. What did that angel deliver? The same message, as he said. If any man preach any other gospel than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel. See, this was not another gospel. This angel preached what Jesus had already said. It was the true gospel. That's what this angel was telling. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly. Go quickly, he said. Christ sends them quickly. Why quickly? Because his soldiers are in sorrow and grief. They're saddened by the death of Christ. So he says, go quickly. Go quickly. Tell them. It means that God cares for us when we're in sorrow, when we're in pain and suffering. And he wants to comfort the downcast and the sad. He wants to comfort them. God wants to do that work in their hearts and their lives. Matthew chapter 28, go quickly, he said, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. That means you better get to it. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Think about that. That's our lives. That's the Christian life. Fear with great joy. We have a lot of fear at times. We can be fearful and we can be scared and we can be full of doubts and we can have fears, but with great joy. That's the mixture. That's the paradox of being a Christian. You have fear, you have joy, you have great joy. And sometimes you don't have that great joy that you need, but God will restore that to you in time, in his time. He says, Luke tells us the women encountered two men along the way as well, right? But then said Pete, let's go back to this here. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and held him by his feet. They came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Right? When you look at all four sides of this encounter, it's complete. You see four different directions. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You see four different directions of the crucifixion and the resurrection. Four different ones, right? That's what we see here. Luke tells us the women encountered two men along the way. The Bible tells, those are those two angels, those two witnesses, right? The Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. As we go on with the story here, what we find out is these angels ask, why seek ye the living among the dead? That's the first question they ask them. Why seek ye the living among the dead? These angels remind us, we seek Christ among the living, not among the dead. You know, all those heroes of old that people talk about, all the Gentile heroes, they're all dead in their grave. Yeah. Jesus isn't in his grave. Amen. Right? We don't seek the living among the dead. Our Lord's in heaven. He's the only one that defeated death and rose from the dead by his own power. Amen. So the angels, they ask him that question. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Note that these angels continue to remind us of Christ's words. Right? These ladies, they go to the disciple. And how was their message received? Mary Magdalene would tell them, she was the woman that was delivered of seven devils. I would say she was a very credible witness, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Delivered of seven devils, walking in the fear of the Lord, following Jesus, being faithful. It says here, they believed them not. Right? They didn't believe him. They wouldn't believe the message that he had given them, right? They wouldn't believe it at all. Mark 16, we go back there. And when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. They wouldn't believe. You know, that could be awful discouraging when you give people the truth and they won't believe it. They're in such sorrow. You know, I've counseled people. I've been there myself. But I've counseled people. They've been in so much sorrow that they cannot believe the truth that you're giving them.
Yeah.
They're so consumed with grief that they cannot believe it. These ladies, they go tell the disciples, and how was their message received? It wasn't. Mark tells us they mourned and wept and believed not. The sorrow in their hearts was so intense that they believed not. Because they were consumed with that sorrow and grief. They just could not believe the message they'd been given. Luke has an account of the message of good tidings. Mary Magdalene, it says, and Joanna. Joanna was the wife of Herod's steward. She gave to Christ's needs while on the earth. So her husband was the steward for Herod. Can you believe that? And God saved her soul, and she wanted to help Jesus, and that's exactly what she did. These women were faithful women. It wasn't an accident they were used by God. They were used because they were faithful. Luke tells us that their words seemed to them as idle tales. How is it? Think about this for a second. So let's look at this picture. So Adam, Eve delivers a false message to Adam, and Adam receives it. Then the true message of the gospel is given to those disciples, what Jesus already said, and they couldn't receive it. They said, these are idle tales. That's what they seemed like to them, that they were idle tales. That's how they viewed them. So when they heard them, they seemed as fables to them. Tall tales or folklore of superstition. And we're told they believed them not. They would not believe what they had said. They simply thought these women had dreamed it all up, like they are vain imaginations. Like, man, that woman's crazy. The woman's just obviously under a lot of pressure and grief. So she's dreaming this vision up of angels and Jesus walking up to her and appearing to her. It's their imaginations. But what did they ignore? Christ's own words, which is what the angels pointed to. Sometimes our message isn't received very well, and we have to soldier on and give people the truth no matter what, or no matter how it's received. In Matthew's account, he tells us these women part from the tomb with two notable expressions, fear mixed with joy, like we talked about. They go quickly as they are commanded to, but they do it with fear and joy. Fear and great joy. Jesus appears to them along the way. They helped him. They held him by the feet and worshiped him. He told them not to be afraid. That's Christ's words to his people, be not afraid. In John's account, Jesus asked Mary, why weepest thou? He asked her two questions. By the way, this is consistent. Turn there to John chapter 20. Because this is consistent with how Jesus deals with his people. He does it with the men on the road to Emmaus, which we're not going to talk about today. But he does that with those men too. But John chapter 20. Verse number 15. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? There's two questions that he asks. Number one is, woman, Why weepest thou? He gets to the heart of matter. What was it? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Do you see that? He asks what the problem is, and then what the solution is. Right? He says, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? First question, woman, why weepest thou? Why are you in sorrow? Why are you weeping? Why are you brokenhearted? Right? Why are you brokenhearted? Why are you weeping? That's what he asks. The very next thing that he asks, whom seekest thou? If you seek Jesus, why are you weeping? Because if you do seek Jesus, you won't be in constant sorrow. Right? You won't be constantly in sorrow. Not at all. In our extreme causes of sorrow and desertion and depression and severe trial, Jesus asks us those same two questions. Whom seekest thou? Why weepest thou? And whom seekest thou? The second question, whom seekest thou? And that's a good question to ask anybody. He asks those women that are in sorrow, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Let me ask you something. When you're in sorrow and grief and pain and suffering and all those other things, do you seek Christ? You know when people sorrow continual and continue and continue with no hope is when they stop seeking Christ. When they give up. When they stop seeking the Lord. When they stop seeking the Lord, their sorrow increases. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Do we look to the person of Christ, not only to the man of sorrows as he lived on this earth? You know, it's good to look at Christ as the man of sorrows, right? Who is acquainted with our grief. It's good to look at him like that, but it's also good to look for the risen Lord. Because the risen Lord is the one that is going to give you strength. He's the one that has the victory for us. Christ went through sorrow and then he went through victory, right? He went through death and then he went through victory. And we should seek the Lord while he may be found. And in our sorrows and in our broken hearts and in all the trials and challenges and everything that we face, we ought to seek the Lord. We ought to seek the Lord while he may be found. That's what the Lord said. That's what God taught us in his word. That's what these angels are telling him, seek the Lord. And then he goes back and he gives, those women go back, excuse me, they give the message to those men, Jesus is coming, and they couldn't receive it. When Christ's disciples go through desertions, they look around into the sepulcher. They should look around at the gospel ordinances. They should look around at church fellowship. They should seek him while he may be found. They should search for the Lord when they're in heartache and pain. They should search the more for the Lord when death knocks on their door. They should search more for God. And by the way, you see these men were at no peace after they got this message. They could not relax until they went to that tomb to figure out where Jesus was. To see where the Lord had lay. Where they had laid him or where he had risen from the dead. You know, one of the things that Mary does here is she keeps focusing on his body and not on the promise of the resurrection. She thinks when she looks at Jesus, she thinks he's the gardener. The Bible says her eyes were holding that she could not see him, right? That's what the Bible talks about, the men on the road to Emmaus. Jesus says to Mary, he says, go tell my brethren, I ascend to my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God. No longer forsaken of men, no longer forsaken of God. Sin was paid for. No more question, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But my Father and my God. Salvation was paid for. Death was conquered. These women are important and they're told to go tell a message. Go give a message to my brethren. She goes and tells them, I have seen the risen Lord. She further tells them what Jesus had spoken to her. Not only the angel's words, but also Jesus' own words. You know, many times, just like the gardener, Mary was right next to Jesus and she didn't even know it. Many times with God's people, they are right next to Jesus, or the Lord is right with them and they don't even realize it. The Bible talks about that. Surely the Lord was in this place and we knew it not. That's what Jacob said with the ladder to heaven. By the way, Jesus tells her to go quickly. You know why? Because if he wouldn't have told her to go, she would have stayed there with him the whole time.
Oh yeah.
She never would have left. That's why he told her, go quickly. You go. Right? That's a good picture for us. After we've had communion with the Lord, and after we've been feasted on God's Word, and after we've learned some things about from God, and we've communed with Him and had devotions, we ought to go try to give the message of the gospel to other people. We ought to go try to feed other people and encourage other people with the Bible, right? So we're not selfish. One day we'll be in heaven and we'll be with Jesus forever. After she had spent much time there with the Lord bid her to go. By the way, that's the message that God has for us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, that's where the Amish and other groups have it wrong. They don't evangelize. They isolate themselves off, right, into little groups, and they never evangelize. First of all, the Amish don't have the gospel. They don't even have the gospel, right? They don't know what the gospel is. But the Mennonite groups and these other groups, most of them, I don't believe, are converted anyway. I believe they're lost. I believe they don't even have the scriptures and they don't know the Bible. But anyway, but where they go wrong is they have a pretended communion with the Lord, but then they isolate themselves off from the world and they're no benefit to the world. They're no benefit to the gospel. They don't take the gospel to a lost and dying world and preach outside of the gate. Or at the gates of the city. They don't go preach and warn men to flee from the wrath to come. They don't warn men that they must be born again. But Jesus tells Mary, you go back and tell my disciples, just like he tells us, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, notice he didn't send Mary to go be an open-air preacher. She wasn't sent, no, just deliver this message to my men and tell them that I'm coming. After that, no one. We never see Mary standing on a pulpit, Mary Magdalene. We never see any of those women doing any of those things. What do we see them doing? Being a godly women in the place that God has put them, in the position that God has put them in. Right?
Yep.
These women, though their message was not received, were proven to be right and blessed by the Lord. Their message was proven to be true. Because Jesus appeared unto them. In that upper room, right? He came in the midst of them and he appeared to them. Their message was true. They were faithful witnesses of the word of God and the truth of God's word, that Jesus rose from the dead. These women, though their message was not... By the way, it's in the same vein as Eve gave her message to Adam. It was a private thing. It wasn't a public speaking event, right? It was a private thing. Eve took that message to her husband, a wrong one. Mary took that message to Jesus' men. Mary Magdalene, a true one. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, those other women and the other Mary that was there, right? They all took a true message. Said, Jesus is coming. He's coming to see you, right? By the way, women are still commanded to give that same message. They're not open-air preachers, but in their homes, to their children, to tracking and witnessing to people when they get opportunity, they're to be that same meek and humble witness.
Amen.
They're to be that same submissive witness. They're not to be a man. They're not to come out and preach and be loud and get a speaker and pastor and to be apostles. Those women were never made apostles. Those women were never made, they were never ordained. They were never given any high place. They were never, what did they do? They fulfilled the faithful place that God had put them. To go give this private message. Go give this witness. By the way, there are places that women can go and give witnesses and messages to that men can't. Right? There are places that you as ladies, you daughters of mine and my wife, you will give messages in places that I could never go. You'll be a witness in places that I could never be a witness. In the way that you're supposed to be a witness. Right? Most of it is your godly conversation. It's if you live your lives in a godly manner, if you live in a modest, meek manner, if you live in an obedient manner, if you follow the Lord and you keep to the role that God has given you, and you're a meek and quiet woman, and you have the right spirit, and you have the right example, and you follow the biblical order that God has set down, you will be a stronger witness in many places that I could not be a witness in. Because that's how God designed it. That's how a woman wins her husband. That's how a saved woman wins a lost husband. Mm-hmm. That's how. By their godly conversation.
Man.
These women, they didn't change the role. Jesus didn't change the role of who they were. But they were effective witnesses because they were faithful witnesses. You say, but who hath believed our report? They went and they weren't believed. But that didn't change the truth of what they said. That didn't change the faithfulness. They only warned them, and what did they do after that? Jesus came in and backed up what they said, didn't he? By the way, that's a perfect example for a lady. You're not going to yell and holler and scream like that. What are you going to do? You're going to be a faithful witness, and then in the end, you let Jesus deal with it. Isn't that a perfect picture of who a lady is? Those ladies went and gave a message that they were to give in faithfulness to those men, and those men didn't believe them. Did they get up and start yelling at those men and say, "What's the matter with you, you bunch of, you have no faith, what's wrong with you? You ought to get right with God." Did they do any of that? No. What did they do? They gave the message, and what happened? Jesus came in and took care of it. And that's the lady's place. Jesus is going to come in and take care of that. Right? That's the difference. That's how it works. By the way, it still works that way. Peter said the same thing, right? All those men, by the way, were rebuked. Because the Bible says later that Jesus upbraided them for their hardness of heart and unbelief. Because they did not believe the witnesses that said that Jesus rose from the dead. And why is that? Because Jesus said, "I told you I was going to rise from the dead." And then these witnesses come and tell you, and you didn't believe them. So that upbraided means to rebuke them to their face. It means to reprove them. It means to charge them with a fault to their face and tell them that they're wrong. That's what Jesus did. What did the women do that? No, it wasn't their place. Jesus did it. By the way, you can learn something from that message. You can learn something as a lady from that. It's not your job to do that. It's not your job to give those strong rebukes and everything. As you grow up to your father or to your husband, it's not your job. Your job is to remain faithful and to do right and trust the Lord that He will take care of it.
Amen.
That's what a wife is to do. A godly wife is. She's to trust the Lord that God will deal with this. That she's not going to give sharp rebukes and do that. Because those women didn't do that here. They're never showed to do that anywhere in the scripture. Jesus uses them in such a remarkable way, not that he does not bring them out of the place of meekness and subjection. You see that? He uses them in such a way that he doesn't change the nature of a woman to do it. But he uses her very nature. And then he comes along afterwards and he takes care of it. And by the way, that's what you need to remember. That's what Jesus will do. He'll take care of it. If you're a lady, God gives you a certain amount of grace. A measure of grace, right? And that grace is this. See, for me, as a man, I'm a husband and a father. And whatsoever my hand finds to do, I'm to do it with all my might, right? And if I, as a leader, I have the biblical mandate, the authority, and the ability and capability from God to make sure that things are done right in my home, right? I'm to make sure things are done right and proper. Or as a pastor in the church, I'm to make sure things. I can't say, "Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord." Well, if God told me to do something and I don't do it, that's not waiting on the Lord. That's being lazy. That's being a coward. But for a lady, it's different. God says that they're to pray, that they're to be meek and have that meek and quiet spirit, They're to have that right demeanor. And when the husband doesn't do right, God's going to deal with it. God's going to take care of it. Jesus is going to be that covering and that help for them that they need. And he'll take care of it. Right?
Yeah.
You don't have to change who God has made you or try to be somebody else to force something. You have to trust God. That's where you exercise faith. That is the life of faith for a lady. Is that she delivers the message, she does what she's supposed to do, she obeys the commands, and then if her husband doesn't, then that's where she has to exercise faith. The husband has to exercise faith in leading and doing what's right and exercising authority and by faith, walking by faith and hoping and praying and believing that God is going to work everything out. The wife is to be submissive, subjective to her own husband, kind and loving, and do what she's supposed to do and teach in the manner that God has given her to teach in and raise the children the manner God has given and to love her husband and her children the way God has commanded and be a keeper at home, and then she's to leave those things to the Lord.
Amen.
That's how she exercises faith. Right? Good lessons. Good lessons.